3-2 win over the Pirates. Mariners held on 4-2 against the Tigers, and the Diamondbacks crushed the Padres 10-4. In the NBA, Suns forward Dylan Brooks has agreed to a 3-year, $73 million contract extension.
Fox Sports update on the Right Choice KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, Senate negotiators are expected to add language authorizing year-round nationwide sales of E15 gasoline to an updated farm bill draft. Supporters argue that permanent approval of E15, a gas blend containing 15% ethanol, would provide certainty for fuel retailers, boost corn demand, and eliminate the need for annual emergency waivers from the EPA. The House passed standalone legislation authorizing year-round E15 sales in May, but it has stalled in the Senate. Agricultural organizations continue to monitor the Trump administration's tariff on selected Brazilian imports as debate persists over their effect on U.S. farm exports and international trade. Ethanol producers and several commodity groups argue the tariffs respond to long-standing market barriers that have limited American access to Brazilian fuel and agricultural markets. Critics warn the additional tariffs could invite retaliation or complicate commercial relationships between two of the world's largest agricultural producers. Well, the USDA announced plans to invest $25 million in a new sterile fly dispersal facility in Douglas, Arizona, part of its long-term strategy to combat New World screwworm. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins says the facility will strengthen the nation's ability to push the pest back into Mexico and ultimately eradicate it from North America. Depending on the site and available infrastructure, construction could be completed in as little as several months.
Replenish nutrients in your crops to reach stronger yields at harvest. Utilize PK from Helena as a foliar nutrient system designed to boost plant performance during reproduction. It gives your crop the extra energy it needs during critical growth stages to increase uptake and utilization of soil and foliar applied nutrients. Visit HelenaAgri.com to learn how utilized PK can impact your success this season. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
For the last 40 years, the Ag Information Network has been the source of news for farmers and ranchers. Yet we have never seen such an assault on farming and our food supply as we do today. From fuel to fertilizer, farmers are facing unprecedented economic challenges. This is why agriculture news that farmers receive comes from the Ag Information Network, reaching coast to coast. Deep roots in farming and decades of reporting, the Ag Information Network, trusted and transparent journalism for generations.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
A choppy trading session with stocks lower and the Dow on track to snap a five-session winning streak. Energy stocks are climbing along with the price of crude. Oil prices are rising amid caution over Middle East peace talks, with West Texas Intermediate crude rising to over $77 a barrel. High-flying AI stocks are losing momentum. Shares of Western Digital and SanDisk are falling. Their strong quarters and solid forecast are failing to impress investors. Jobless claims rose less than expected last week and were up 1,000 to 199,000. Investors are eagerly awaiting the release of the July jobs report on Friday morning. You'll be spending more for a mortgage this week, the average long-term rate rising for a fifth consecutive week to its highest level in just over a year. The benchmark 30-year rate rose to 6.69%, according to Freddie Mac. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
There was another part to Mr. Brezhnev's recent speech on human rights that deserves more coverage than it received from our press. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
On March 21st, Soviet Communist Party Chief Leonid Brezhnev made a speech warning the President of the United States to lower his voice on the subject of human rights. He, of course, received worldwide coverage. Indeed, we could all be excused if we thought that's all he talked about. It wasn't. He had things to say about the Middle East, and frankly, if a man biting a dog is more newsworthy than a dog biting a man, then the world press missed the real news in his speech. In introducing the subject of the Middle East, Brezhnev sounded as if a reconvening of the Geneva Conference on the Arab-Israeli stalemate might be in order. Then, speaking for the Soviet Union, which co-chairs the Geneva Conference, he outlined what his country considers essential to a peaceful settlement between Arabs and Israelis. He said, quote, "We hold in particular that the final document should be based on the principle of, now hear this, the impermissibility of acquisition of territory by war," unquote. He then went on to say that Israel should withdraw her military forces from all the territory she took in the Six-Day War back in 1967, and, of course, return that territory to the Arabs. This, to be sure, is one of the bones of contention in the present stalemate, and could raise among us Americans a question of, why not? After all, we fought two world wars, were victorious in both, and never asked for or took so much as a square inch of anyone else's territory. But we'd be pretty naive if we applied that yardstick to Israel in the present situation. The real issue in the Middle East had to do with the Arab refusal to recognize that Israel has a right to exist as a nation. To give up the buffer zones Israel took in the Six-Day War could be to put cannon on her front walk aimed at her front door by those who said she must be destroyed. But let's take a look at those other words of Mr. Brezhnev. He's telling us the Soviet Union does not believe any nation has the right to hold territory seized by force of arms. Well, let's play what if. What if the United States said to Israel, you give back that territory to your Arab neighbors, and we'll enter into a treaty with you, a mutual aid pact that says if you're attacked, we come to your aid. Don't go away. There's more to come if we're playing what if. Then we say to the Soviet Union, by way of Mr. Brezhnev, quote, you, of course, must get out of Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia, which you seized by force of arms, unquote. And come to think of it, that means turning loose Finland, Poland, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Bulgaria, East Germany, and Romania. As a matter of fact, there are some islands north of Japan and some territory in Mongolia you occupy only because you joined the fight against Japan 20 minutes before the end of the war. I don't think they heard a single shot fired in anger. And up till then, Korea was one nation. It only became a North and South Korea because the Soviets came in like a squatter and homesteaded the north half. Unfortunately, that was during a time when we were in that good old Uncle Joe mood, thinking Stalin was going to turn out to be the gruff old codger with a heart of gold. How about that? One sentence by Brezhnev in a speech on March 21st, 1977, and if everybody, especially him, did what he said, peace would come to the world. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K-Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
And good afternoon and welcome to Sound Off. If you haven't figured it out, this is not Karen Veeley. This is Eric Gorham. I'm trying to get the sound quite right. It was a little loud in my microphone or my earphones. Karen's out on assignment today, so check out Cal Coast News. There's been some interesting things coming in there, and we're going to talk water, I think. I think my phone line is ringing, and I think we're going to kind of go into a little bit of water. Last I heard, we don't know everything, but I'm guessing that's you, Greg?
Yes, it is.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. Hey, I got documents this morning after we talked.
Oh, nice. So my intro there was a little off, so that's exciting. So let's hear about it.
So this was we were given the privilege by the court to write the order for the phase six trial, which was the last trial in the quiet title action, and we wrote the order for the summary judgment that was right before this. So what happens is you write a little history essay on what the thing was about, which is pretty simple, and then you write what the order should be. So in this case, there's seven items, and the first one is that the case is complete. 2, 3, and 4 basically discuss the fact that the defendants failed to prove what they were claiming they were going to prove, and that they withdrew, and that this constitutes a dismissal of their claims. And then the fifth deal is the court is to grant quiet title to the plaintiffs against the defendants, and that we don't have to see these guys ever again. And then the plaintiffs in number six, we are the prevailing winner, which that's why the court gives the honor of writing the order to whoever prevails in the trial. And the last one is that the phase six order will be incorporated into the final judgment with all the prior orders from the other five phases that will be in effect, so that we now there's a few more days for the defendants to, I guess, complain about anything they want to complain about in this order. And then once the judge signs it, that'll be the end of that. This is just 2 pages of 46 pages. The other 36 pages are just a history of what happened.
Okay.
And they're not really, there's nothing in any of those other pages that anybody could claim wasn't true or didn't happen. It's just all basic. Hey, on this day these guys pulled out, on this day these guys pulled out, on this day this happened, at our last hearing this is what happened. It's just a timeline with everything. But I'll tell you, this morning I've been putting together a bunch of other, going through my documents and putting stuff together, and it's pretty amazing. I think I'm going to write a book, and I'm going to try to get Sheridan to make the Paso Basin like Yellowstone.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I got so much stuff. It's unbelievable to look back at what different staff people from the county told me and sent me with these different people that are now part of the EPC and the Shannon Water District and what they did when they were the prior agreement and Prags and what the different officials did and the Wine Country Alliance and all these people. And it's all documented.
Right.
I have all the documentation.
And one thing I want to say just for the listening audience, some people are very well-versed on the quiet title, some are not. It's something, if you listen to this radio station over, what, the last 14 years or so, you have a decent idea about. But this is the basin saga still continues. I think this is a major blow in that saga, but it's not over. You know, it is over for quiet title, but... you know, we still have this groundwater authority, et cetera. There's still a power play for the basin and those natural resources.
Yeah, so what these guys tried to do throughout, I mean, I was looking at documents today on what they were trying to do with our assembly person at the time, who was Cacho Sajjan, great guy. But they convinced him that these different groups, you know, had the right idea, and they were going to take care of the basin, and they wanted to make this management and all these different things. And every time you turn around, it was the same players in a different costume trying to act out the same play with the same scenario. How many times do you have to try the same stuff that never works?
Right. You just, you got to dress up the pig and bring it back. You know, put a different dress and a little, you know, put pink lipstick on instead of red and see if it flies by.
I was told at one of those meetings by Dana Merrill that I was just some old retired fireman that had some cows and I was not part of the economic engine of the North County and I shouldn't have any say so about anything. And I said, well, That's cool. Will the county give me back my tax money for the last 24 years for my property taxes that goes to fund all this stuff that's going on? Of course not.
Right.
What do you mean I'm not part of the economic engine? You mean the part of the engine that created these problems?
Right.
So let's go to the people who created the problems. Let's go to the people who claim they had a priority right when they didn't, or that they had a superior right and they didn't. And now we proved it in court.
Right.
So when they decided that what they were going to do, because they were trying to monetize water with exchanges, transfers, and they can claim all they want to claim, but we don't export water. Everything that the city of Paso Robles uses is dumped in the river. Where does the river flow, Eric?
I think it goes north. It doesn't go south. It goes north right into Monterey County.
Right. So isn't that exporting out of our county?
Well, yeah, you could do it like Templeton, where you pump it back up to the top and try to get some of it to soak in, but we don't do that here in Paso.
Well, any of it, you're going to get a certain amount of recharge, hopefully. I mean, that's right. The concept. You want to get recharge. I go all the way back to World War II. When they created the Salinas Reservoir, it was supposedly to benefit Camp San Luis, which they never completed, and said, hey, we're going to go north and we're going to go to Camp Roberts and Hunter Liggett. Okay. Oh, but we're going to let the city of San Luis use the water that we're not going to use because they can't grow if they don't have more water. Well, that's not our problem. So you took water from the North County watershed to help the city of San Luis, which the water don't flow south. You just pointed out that the water flows north. They're in a different watershed. The water code states if you're creating a problem and you're taking water from a different watershed, you have to reduce or stop what you're doing. So what have they paid for any management in the North County Basin that they created from taking water from our recharge?
And I will tell you, I'll tell you a little secret, Greg. The lake is very full. And it's all but turned off to the Salinas. It's stopped flowing where I'm at, and I'm very much at the headwaters. They've been dumping over the few years, what I can tell, a very minute amount, so they can say they are, but it goes into the basin, not even in the basin, because we're talking about Santa Margarita. So it's absorbing in, I'm a few miles downstream. at most.
Right.
So it's not flowing. Yeah. It has stopped flowing about a week ago. It's no longer flowing. If they are releasing, they'll do minute amounts just to say they are. So right now, they're not releasing and recharging the basin, even though you'll see places that have water in it. They are not releasing, and most of the river is going dry.
Right. So this is the problem with, they're supposed to do what's called a live stream. Now, I have the document. You can look up, anybody in the public can look this up. I have a website I can go to, and it shows me exactly how much water is in the lake, what the elevation of the lake, what the circumference of the lake, how much water evaporated off the lake, how much water was released from the lake, how much water went from the lake to the city of San Luis, so on, so on, and so forth. I have a daily report for every month for the last 75 years. I know exactly what they use and what they didn't use. They evaporate more water than what they use. And if they would just let more water go out during June, July, August, September, and before winter, they replenish the lake in less than a month. So if they would allow more to go out during the dry period, that's when the recharge takes place.
Exactly, and we're supposed to be going into a rain year, so you would think they would keep that water going because the lake is very full right now. It isn't at 100% or anything, but it's very full. It's fuller than it usually is in August right now, and there's no reason not to be releasing because a trickle of water, if you have an area on that river and you're releasing and it flows at about 3 feet by about 6 to 10 inches, you would be amazed because that river is relatively flat. So what it does is it builds up all these giant lakes that then push into the groundwater.
Correct. So the river has a left bank and a right bank. And this is where stormwater capture is beneficial. So you want the water in the river to be bank to bank. So if you put what's called a weir, it's like a small dam. They can be inflatable. They can be whatever you want to make them. What you do is you slow up the stream that's in the center of the sponge. So the alluvial sand and gravel that's in the river is where the water is going to soak in. But you're only getting that little center part or where the river flows. Well, if you put weirs in the river, you spread it to where you're getting the water to soak into the whole sponge from left to right all the way down as it builds up, and you're going to get more recharge. And this is that's called management. What we do is not management. What we do is, we're looking for a grant to keep staff employed so they can hire a consultant so we can put together a committee so we can sit around and look at each other and then go have coffee and talk about all the great stuff that we've done.
Right. Yeah, and all this, what you're talking about, it all sounds good in practice. Oh, we have a live stream agreement. You know, I talked to last year when the river went dry. I called the county. I got in contact. I can't remember the lady's name, but she's supposed to know all things about the Salinas. She knew nothing. And but I asked her, I go, we have a live stream agreement. And she goes, well, we don't have a live stream right now. And I go, I know. That's why I'm calling. You know what I mean? But there is I don't know if she actually knows what that agreement said. Because she's like, well, we don't have a live stream. And I'm like, yeah, so you should be putting water in. And she sent me the release data for, I think, 50 years up until this was sometime last year. And what I did notice is they were releasing, but it's micro amounts every day. Not enough to make a live stream.
And the lake wasn't built. The lake was built for water storage and good releases. So just in the last, so in 23 and in, I think it was 19 and maybe 17. But I'll give you two examples.
You know what, Greg, so, before you do that, we got a caller. I just want to take them real quick, if you don't mind. Good afternoon, and thanks for calling in.
Thank you. First of all, Greg Graywall, you're outstanding, and thank you. Kudos very much for all you have done for all of us. I got a quick question on the Salinas River, which we've got about 6 acres in. It flows north, and it's only one of very few that does that. Well, the water does go under the ground, but what I don't understand is why they won't let it keep running year-round and releasing water, because what happens is starting after usually Thanksgiving, we've got so much water coming through that it's flooding guys like me. And we used to have the bad boys school go in there before the goats did and whack stuff up and chainsaw it to where it would flow. But it's a shame that we can't get them to release it where this water will flow like it should, and then it won't be flooding everybody out. But I just had to throw that in there, and correct me if I'm wrong. But Greg Graywall, thank you again very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Greg, you heard that? Oop. Greg, you still there?
I'm here, brother.
Somehow you got put on hold. My apologies. Did you hear what he had to say?
My good friend Tommy Harris.
Right.
If you ever want to have a good time, go to the Harris Ranches and have him give you a wagon ride and a stagecoach or something with some really beautiful horses. But
there you go.
Yeah, he lives next to the river, so he understands the issues. You can't have everything at once or nothing at all. This is the whole deal with the management. And so if they operated the live stream agreement correctly, I have the photo you got last year that you sent me when the river was dry.
And that was last year. That was in like early July, I believe.
Right. So the first part of the river from your place or from the dam to what would be the first community? Templeton or Atascadero?
Atascadero would be the first. Well, yeah, Atascadero.
Well, they're recharging their wastewater in the river. So when you see water in from Atascadero and Templeton and then in Paso Robles and part of the way up, so that whole corridor is 45 miles. Well, the first 25 is the dry part that is supposed to be wet. The wetness from the other guys is from what they're dumping.
Right.
It's not from the live stream agreement. And so they're cheating the river. They're cheating the residents that live up here that have there's two kinds of water rights. There's groundwater rights and there's surface water rights, which are called riparian water rights. And the riparian water rights are critical, just like the groundwater rights. Well, if you're not flowing a certain amount of stuff, you're going to affect your groundwater recharge, which is what we're talking about. Where's the supplemental water? Why don't we have enough supplemental water? We have enough rainfall. Why don't we capture more? These are the things that need to be done, not, oh, we need to be in charge so we can control everything, so we can dictate to you. You know, I don't want to hear no more about fallowing an acre of ground to save 1 acre foot of water. Every time you fallow an acre, I want the equivalent of hotel rooms fallowed in Paso Robles. And then when they start to feel the same thing, you know, Pioneer Day, the bean feed, all these different things, the fair, that's because of the ranchers and farmers around here.
Right.
The city grew around the ranching and farming. The ranching and farming didn't grow around the city. And we were the ones that contributed so much to the growth here through the wine industry and the other industries. But one industry can't dictate that they're in charge and nobody else gets to do anything.
Right.
And then when you bring in corporate interests, their interests are changed. Their interest is in their investors and making money for their investors, not in making money for the people that live here that are providing jobs to the local economy. But they also live here. They grew up here. They want their family to carry on their traditions and their different things. And that matters more than some guy that lives in Cayucas or San Luis that's being paid by a company out of Canada to use as much water as possible so they can claim some historic use and then try to sell it later at the highest price.
So let me tell you something, Greg, just my family history. So my dad's side of the family you know, we've been here for a long time, since the 1800s, fourth and fifth generation. But my mom's side of the family is not from here. She was first generation. But what's interesting is they were from Arcadia and then later Newport Beach. And when they were in Arcadia, they would tell people, go, you know, my great grandmother had problems, arthritis and different things. And they said, go up to Paso Robles, sit in the hot springs. And you know what the men came and did during the summers while their wives were in the hot springs? They went and fish and hunted around the east side Paso, and they fished all of the Salinas River. But if you don't mind hanging out for a little bit, Greg, we got to go to a commercial and we'll be right back.
You got it.
All right. We'll be right back with more Sound Off. Stay tuned.
Usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Rich London, what's happening at the mattress specialist these hot summer days?
Well, not only is it hot out there, Gary, but the prices are hot in here. As you can see, Gary, I got mattresses everywhere. They're almost to the ceiling, but of course, it's getting used to that now. People come in, they go, wow, you're not kidding. I'm not kidding. I got things on sale because I'm constantly getting things in. I'm getting the deals for everybody.
The mattress specialist is at 13th and Riverside in Paso Robles.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner-broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
And we are back with Sound Off. This segment's winding down, but if you'd like to call in, you have any questions on water, please give us a call. We have Greg, and let's get back to Greg here. How you doing, sir? Welcome back to the show.
I'm good. Thank you, Eric.
So we kind of left off. I was kind of giving you my family history just because I think it's interesting that people used to come down here. And, of course, we had the hot springs. We had, you know, the, what was it, the White Sox and the Pirates that used to practice here. People came all from all over California and all over the western United States to go to the hot springs and then to hunt and fish. And now we don't have that fishing ability because we don't have a river really anymore.
Well, exactly. People showed me pictures of the river flowing with steelhead in it. How come certain other rivers matter, but our river doesn't matter? And we can only have so many diversions of water. And a diversion is you're moving the water somewhere out. So if you're going to take the water from the North County and take it to South County because South County needs some water, what are they paying for the benefit? And what are they paying for the damage that they're doing to where they're taking it from? So when Bruce Gibson wants to claim, well, the people over the basin need to pay for the benefit of managing the basin. Well, if you're creating the problem we need to manage the basin for, what are they paying for doing the damage to the basin?
Exactly. And, you know, to me, there's a priority right involved in this. So, you know, if and we have these groups, we have even this group that we currently have over the Paso Basin stating that we have problems. We need them. They need to come solve our problems. But one of the simplest things is to say, per my understanding, the state constitution says if you divert water from a basin and then that basin is in trouble, you have to give that water back. And that seems like a relatively simple thing to enact and make sure that river's flowing.
Well, yeah, so these were part, we have certain rivers in our county, or I'm just going to say over our basin area. So you got Werowero, you got Shell Creek, you know, you got, so you, from the Shannon would be the Shell Creek and those things up there. You got the Estrella in the middle, you got the Werowero. The main one that flows consistently is the Salinas. And then you got some tributaries that are on the west side that flow. So everything from the west flows to the east to the Salinas. Everything on the east flows to the west to the Salinas. Some of them only flow during winter time, and some of them flow all the time. Tassajara Creek flows all the time. And I got a buddy that lives over there, and it's amazing how much water comes out of that area. But those are your alluvial areas, your areas where your recharge takes place, where the groundwater gets, where the surface water gets to the groundwater. And those are the areas where you need to do your recharge and your different things. But what you just mentioned before is, this is why the Quiet Title Action was so important, because it showed who had the priority right to the basin. So this was the whole deal. If we don't have any rights, if when they had that Assembly Bill 2453 that they talked Cacho into backing and doing that, and they lost, we missed two informative votes. We didn't get to vote on them making it an application to put on the ballot, and then when we did get to vote on it, we didn't get to vote it at the supervisors. We didn't get to vote on it at LAFCO because they didn't want anybody to vote. Then when we did vote on it in March of 2016 and it got voted down by almost 80%, then they didn't know what to do. Why is there 8 pages in the 2016 Water Code on Assembly Bill 2453 when it didn't pass? Because they thought it was going to pass. Just like a 218 vote. Well, if you don't complain, you're an automatic yes.
Right.
We've always followed the concept of local control. The problem is they don't want the locals to control. They want the specific contributors to certain people to control.
Well, this is all about finances and what you can do with those resources, and we kind of see it all over government. I think we see it with the basin. I look at the Paso Robles Airport, and I'm seeing that. I think you see a lot of things where you get a handful of people that want to control something and profit from it.
And, yeah, all you got to do is follow the money. Follow the money.
And unfortunately, all these things belong to the constituents. We're just not profiting. We're not seeing it. And of course, of water, that's just like literally a shared natural resource that, in my opinion, you know, if there's excess and somebody wants to profit from it, then that's great. But when there's not, then you don't get to.
But if there's excess, they can't make any money. They have to make it scarce. When you make something scarce, it's more valuable. And then all of a sudden, so you have to create a problem. And you have to take the problem and say, I need to be in charge. And everybody has to fold their tent and give you the credentials to be the one in charge. It's like this water authority. Okay, anybody can Google this. Anybody can look at Kevin's friend, Al, AI.
And we have a few seconds, Greg, just to let you know.
Yeah, if you're a groundwater agency, you have no authority outside of your footprint of your agency. So I don't want Paso Robles telling me what to do over the basin when they lost the quiet title and their authority is inside their city boundaries. Same with San Miguel. same with EPC Water District, same with Shannon Water District. And if the locals are in charge, then we get to tell the county what we want to do in the rest of the area, which is we'll be in charge. And we'll charge you for what you're doing wrong.
All righty, Greg. Well, we're at that wall. Thanks for calling in. And looking forward to hear what happens next week. Thank you, sir.
You got it. Thank you.
And we'll be right back with Sylvia Dodd.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.